Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we may be here to worship and to give thanks to God for that what He has done for all of us by His grace, and not only on us, but on many all over the earth. He has done great things. I just have the question whether the brethren can speak German, whether somebody can translate for them. No one? Brother, can you French? Because the brethren are here from Zaire. I will make here the remark that the largest gatherings which I experienced since 1969 were in Zaire. At that time it was India where a couple of thousands came together, and now it was in Zaire. And Brother Rus already said that Wednesday, God willing, I will again travel to Africa. This time not to Zaire, but to Tanzania, to Kenya, Malawi, and South Africa. I hope that God will again bless and that He speaks to His people. If it could be all over as in Zaire, then I would be very satisfied. And I can tell you, it all depends how one is received and accepted. If one is received with critique and with reservation, then all the ministry is like paralyzed. If one is received honestly, sincerely, with the love of God, then one is in the liberty of the Spirit, and the ministry just unfolds in a totally different way. One notices that the word is believed, and it just comes forth, and the people are blessed. I, of course, missed Brother Schmidt since weeks and months, and I wanted to say this morning. And now Brother Rus at least gave us greetings from him. Just if somebody is missing, then somebody is missing, just like that. And we just would wish that all would feel this way, this togetherness, this union with the Lord and with one another, that we are on the inside totally troubled when somebody is not here, because somebody is missing. This should be this way. And I believe this will come. It's not far away, but it's very near. In the early church, there were one heart and one soul. They came together daily. They were eating simply, and they were committing themselves to God so that He could use them and bless them. The only thing what is left for us on this earth is to do the same at the end what they did at the beginning. This total devotion, the joining on the inside with God and with one another, and to have a refreshing by the Spirit of God so that everything is quickened and made alive. You all know the Lord God formed Adam, and he was lying there. He had all the members of his body, but he could not yet walk, could not yet hear, not yet see. And then the Lord God breathed into him the breath of life, and thus he became a living soul. Now the ears could hear, the eyes could see, the mouth could speak. Now everything was functioning in this body, who was there already, because it came forth unto life. That's how it is also with the body of the Lord. He can only function then when the Spirit of God comes upon him. And of our Lord it says, when together with his disciples, when he came together, after the resurrection, he breathed on them, he breathed on them. The same word which is written in Genesis, he breathed the breath of life into him. Thus it is written in John 20, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And with this statement, a mighty commission was connected with it. We believe that God will give a mighty outpouring of His Holy Spirit. It's not enough that we are here as members. We must be quickened. What good are the nicest songs on this wonderful body if the eye that doesn't see and if the ear doesn't hear and everything is lifeless? Then there's only one word for it, and this is death. But God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living, because He creates life. All life comes from God. A songwriter says, all the life comes forth from you. And a songwriter says, in his words, in a couple of stanzas, he expressed it. And we want that this divine life comes in all who have become partakers of the divine nature by the new birth. And that this divine life can have an effect. And then it's no more you and I, but it's God who works all in all by His grace. When we read the Holy Scripture, then our heart is touched. And in the same way we know that to the wise and prudent it remained hidden what God revealed unto the babes. The scribes and the wise of this world, they bypass what God is doing in simplicity. And here we think on the mighty sermon, God hiding and revealing Himself in simplicity. People always have to do something, want to see and hear something about which is much reported. God does the greatest and mightiest things in such a simplicity that the people stumble over it. And recently we said it on this one tape. They came to our Lord and said, you, who you are just a man, you make yourself God. With this you are blaspheming God, and we have the right to stone you. What was it? He was man. He ate, he drank, he prayed, he wept, he wrestled. He was man, found in the fashion of man. He had everything that was divine on him, he has put it off, and he came into the human flesh. To us, who we were lost in the human flesh, to redeem us, so that we can be adopted as sons and daughters of God. This is the sum of all the gospel. About this, there's nothing to philosophize about, but to believe, so that God can work in us. You know, in the past, and not only since yesterday, but since the beginning of church history, at least two groups were there. The ones who believed with all their hearts, who didn't interpret anything, who didn't formulate anything, who didn't define anything, but who believed with all their hearts and who were led by the Spirit. The other ones, they started to define. They defined the Godhead. They defined statements of faith. And they defined themselves, deadlocked themselves until this very day. If one reads church history, and then sometimes one really feels otherwise. When one reads that the people who centuries later were formulated, these are then called as the apostolic statement of faith unto this very day. And I think here on the formulation of the statement of faith in the year 325 at Nicaea, which was then finally settled in Chalcedon 381. And there the thought came to me, everywhere it's being said, the apostolic statement of faith. Not one apostle and no book of Acts knows of that what was made 300 years later. And these people had the chutzpah to put an apostolic stamp on their creed. This is a religious crime. This is a crime. This nobody may do. One day, when God helps me, I will write about it. And I will come to the public. One cannot let the things run like this. And whoever is informed on the religious market, he sees how the deception goes forth. And there are, of course, people among them who have the right to hear the truth. And who shall bring it to them? Of course, only somebody who has recognized it himself, who experienced it himself, and to whom it became a reality. But about this, we don't want to speak now. It came just to me because right now, so much it is being said about the Godhead. And we, of course, were together, we read, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And God was the Word. Here is already the whole matter expressed. In the beginning was the Word. And then the Word was with God. One saw two things. One saw God and one saw the revealed Word in the Son of God. And then it says, and the Word was God. But so much the people don't go back again, but they remain standing. We want to believe every word with all our hearts and proclaiming it as it is written. And this is the nice thing. We are not obligated to any denomination. We never put an oath on some kind of creed of any denomination. But we were defined by God Himself without our willing, just to believe as the Scripture has said. And when the Holy Scripture says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we say amen to it. And when it says that He is the Son of Man and the Son of David, then we say amen to it. And when it says, to you is born today Christ, the Lord, then we believe that Christ is the Lord. We believe every word as it is written. And until the end of our lives, we will not put on any blinders on our eyes, but we will look around and we will orientate ourselves in all of the plan of salvation of our God. There are so many places which could be read here. Here it's being said, in verse 10, of this light, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world was made by him. Do we understand this Yahweh who came forth in the beginning from the fullness of God, which was invisible as the Logos, as the Word, as the acting one, when he revealed himself, the revealing part of God in the Garden of Eden, he spoke the same was on the Mount Sinai, the same on Mount Olives have spoken, but in the Old Testament, in the spiritual body, in the New Testament, in the body of flesh. I read you another scripture so that you know what is written. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8 from verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Did two create the world? Do we have two creators? Or do we only have one creator? Do we have one redeemer or more? Beloved, and right afterward, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul said through the Spirit of God, how be it, there's not in every man that knowledge. Not all have such knowledge, because not all are led by the Spirit of God into it, into these deep mysteries of God. God cannot be explained. And you will just see now that for the mind, for the reasoning, there's on the spot there's a contradiction. And for the Spirit, there's no contradiction at all. But firstly, I read from Revelation chapter 4, from verse 9. Perhaps already the second part from verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Just compare this word with 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, which we just read. There's only one God, only one Father, and there's only one Lord, namely Jesus Christ. Here, we have two terms, God and Lord. The term God in connection with Father, the term Lord in connection with Son. Here in the book of Revelation, these two things are told us in summary. And it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every spirit which is from God confesses that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And nobody can say Jesus is the Lord except through the Holy Spirit. That's how Paul written it to the Corinthians. And here we are told, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Shall I ask, which Lord? We know who the Lord is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. On whom are we waiting? Who will return? Beloved, we must understand this once, that God has put off His divinity. He became man to bring us into our divine stand. This is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this revelation, we don't disesteem it. It continues in verse 9, Revelation 4, verse 9. And when those four living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sat on the throne and worship Him who liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Is this not the same word? Do you think the Spirit of God would bring a confusion into the Holy Scripture? Every book of man might be confused as the human thoughts are confused. But in the Word of God, there's no confusion, but only the absolute clarity by the Spirit of God revealed for all who would like to receive this divine clarity. Now we come to the contradiction, which the unbelievers perhaps would find if they would search good, but it's brought to nothing. Letting God's word speak for itself. It says here in John chapter 1, verse 18, we all read it. No man has seen God at any time. Now I will read you something. That at least He was seen of 70 at once. And to this comes also Moses and Aaron and some others. And then you will see why the things are written in the way just as they were written. I read from Exodus 24 from verse 9. Exodus 24 verse 9. Keep John 1 verse 18 in mind. No one has seen God at any time. Now we read from Exodus. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under His feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the chosen ones of the children of Israel, He laid not His hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. What do we say to it? What did our Lord Jesus say? The world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. Here, in this connection, the word chosen ones is written. The chosen ones of the Israelites, they were it who went up Whom did they see? They saw God in the revelation shape in which he made himself visible later on. And before that also, in a special way, in Exodus 19, when he came down and when he proclaimed the law there, it was the Lord God. They didn't only see spirit, they saw him and also what was under his feet. So they saw a shape, not only spirit, not just a cloud. He speaks of the feet. I read it to you. Verse 10. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. So they saw the visible manifestation form of the invisible God. They saw the Lord, the Almighty God, who revealed himself. But they were not all of them, but the chosen ones. Here it's written, he stretched forth his hand. He laid not his hand against the chosen children of Israel. No, they saw God and did eat and drink. This revelation of God is not for the cold ones and not for the half-hearted. It is for the chosen ones of God who may see God in the Spirit and who sit down and who eat and drink with the living God as it was here. You might say, how shall this be, beloved? This is God's matter. And if we in this time really are part of the elect, then we shall see God. And then we will sit down, and at his table we shall eat and drink, and we will abundantly be satisfied with the fatness of his house. God has an election, which of course is for many as a foreign word, but it was put upon the lampstand in this time. We see it is an ancient word. Here with the Israelites, it's already applied. God didn't lay his hand against the elect of the Israelites. So sure as among the people of Israel there were the chosen ones and the called ones, so sure it is also in the church of the new covenant. And here we must distinguish, and we also must be able to put it together again. On one hand, keeping it apart, that the one doesn't need to see already what the other sees already. But on the other hand, seeing it put together, that God revealed himself in Christ. Beloved, when at that time, Philip, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, he came to our Lord, who spoke so much about the Father. And then he says, show us the Father. And then our Lord says, very sad, he said, so long I have been with you. How can you say, show us the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. You see, that for the proclamation both sides belong. That on one hand, one recognizes 100% and believes and proclaims that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and was born into this world, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, and on the eighth day circumcised according to the law, and that he lived here, and that not only as a man, but he was 100% man. But this was not all. In this 100% humanly bodily form, there was something eternal, something which could not be destroyed, something divine. As I said before, to also his body was mortal. He, of course, had to suffer death for all of us. On him, Satan had no right, and therefore also not death, because he was born sinless. He lived sinless. But the question is, how did he die? If I would now say he died sinless, then I would say the truth. And if I would say that he died fully burdened with sin, namely that the sin of all the world was laid upon him, and that with this sin he went to the cross, then this is also the 100% truth. But then it says that our chastisement was laid upon him. He bore our sins. He laid upon himself our pain. And he went to the cross. And willingly he was letting himself be crucified. And they cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" How often we have said it here. It was your and my cry. We, by sin, we were separated from God. We were abandoned by God, without hope, without God in this world. And then he took your and my place. And your and my sin was laid upon him. There was the separation from God, perfect. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And when the spear penetrated his side, and when the blood came forth, came to fulfillment, what Paul has said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, namely, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. In one moment, abandoned, and in the other moment, we were reconciled with God. When the blood of reconciliation was shed on the cross of Calvary, beloved, it's all about, it's important that the biblical truths, that we don't reason and rationalize with them, and that we interpret them according to our discretion, but that we believe every word of God, that we see it from a divine, heavenly perspective, and only then we have the guarantee that we see it the right way. May God bless you and us and all who cannot be here today. Doesn't matter wherever they are. The Lord knows his own. And the slogan which I received from the beginning, "Know that the Lord leads His saints in a wonderful way. His saints, His redeemed, His chosen ones, in Him coming to perfection. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He will appear, then we will be like Him. And we sometimes, whether we are in the old age or whether we are still young or middle, on our body we notice that it's no more the way as it was at the age of 16 or 17. And we start to sigh. And then we know, in the midst of this sighing, we know that one day this old tabernacle will be put off and that we will be transformed into our youth. This you can believe me. Not only because Brother Branham said it, when he reported about it, that he was in paradise and he saw millions who were young. On the 1st of January 1981, when I was taken out from this body and with all the transformed ones, when I could go up with them, I've seen them. All were young. And from my understanding, they were not 18 or 19, rather 16 or 17. I've seen them right before me. This is the pure truth before the living God, who will one day judge the living and the dead, for whom you and I will stand one day. I've seen them all, clearer than I can see you now. I've seen them. When I looked to my right, all were young, but all had different hair, blonde and brown and straight, and as it is in the natural, but all were young, and all were transfigured on their faces. Beloved, we are waiting for it, that this old tabernacle will be put off, and on the old tabernacle, you can operate on it. You can do what you like. It's given over to death. But as we said last night, we have a habitation built by God, a resurrection body, who will never get sick, who will never get old, which will never have pain. Oh, what did God prepare for them who love Him? And to them we may belong by His grace. He will not lay His hands against His elect. No, He will lay His hands over them and He will bless them and He will tell them, sit down at my table, eat and drink in my presence, and behold my glory, and that what I have prepared for you. Our God is a great God. So both is correct. No one has seen God at any time. But the elect, they have seen Him in the way as He revealed Himself in a visible shape of appearance. Hallelujah! Is this not something great? Something precious? That all this, we in summary can see it at the end of the New Testament church. And I'm asking you, was there a time in which the Old and the New Testament, in which the divine revelations were emphasized and shown in such a way as in our days? We are a privileged people. We are a chosen generation, and we should thank God for it with all our hearts, giving glory and honor to His name. And this we can surely do now. After Brother Rus once, he can say something. Remember me in your prayers. May the Lord bless you and be with you all. Amen. I believe that we don't need to say anything, because there was said enough. If we take this to heart and if we believe it with all our hearts, then it's enough to worship God, to exalt His name. And it's really like this. The words became great to me. His elect, His chosen ones, they will understand it. They will be ready to do every step which He tells them. And so we're happy and grateful that we, as not being worthy in His eyes, we have been found worthy. We are so happy about it, that we belong to Him, not of our own merit, not because we are better, perhaps even worse than all the others. I've said it already last weekend. Perhaps there are people who in their outward nature are even better than we are. But it's the election of God. It's His election. It's His grace that we may be here, that He called us, and that He revealed unto us His word in such a wonderful way. Although the word has come to many ears, but you know, not all hear the cry, not all understand the call. And I'm just reminded on it now, on that what Brother Branham said, the hen and her chicks and the eaglet, the eagle, he knew he's strange among the chicks. And it became so great to me when I read it. The old eagle mother was flying over the yard and cried. No chick understood what was meant, but the eaglet understood the cry of the mother. You know? No one will understand the cry, the call of the bridegroom, but his bride will understand the call. Is this not wonderful? This is so glorious. There were many chicks, and the old mother hen was there. Everything was there, you know? Is this not a wonderful example for our days? Oh, how wonderful. You know, so many believers, so denominations, churches, organizations are here. All is here. And the call of the mother eagle goes forth, and she calls, come, swing yourself up. What is it? They may swing themselves up who hear the call, the last call which God lets go forth for His elect in these days. We are so grateful. We are so happy that we may obey everything. And also all those who receive the Lord, who come to the faith, that we also step into the water for baptism. We're so grateful that we may see that God is at work. I always say it. It is written from all peoples, tongues, and nations, whether yellow, whether black, whether white, or whoever we might be, God calls His elect. And only those who believe with all their hearts, they do the step and they go and say, what can I do? What? We have read it last Sunday of the eunuch. He believed on the spot the prophet. He believed what a Philip told him, because Philip was speaking. He set forth what is written in the prophet Isaiah about Christ who will come, and He had come. And who has seen it? Who has understood it? Nobody understood it. Also, a eunuch didn't understand it. But when he was told by the sent messenger of God, then his eyes were opened. And then he said, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? And then there was only one question. If you believe with all your heart, then it shall take place. And he just could say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And already there was not long discussion, no debate. The wagon stopped and they went down into the water. And then it was obeyed. I just want to tell you something. In a heart where the true faith is, where it stands, where it gains ground, there can nothing be but only obeying the word of God. There's only one longing, one yearning to do what God's word requires. But only there where faith really gained ground. The faith gained ground in the true believers. Just a couple of years ago, when the people came, when the message came forth, they, even in winter, at Christmas time, they didn't shun to be baptized in the Rhine River. There were ice plates swimming. There was just a longing to do what God's word requires from us. But brothers and sisters, this may not just be for a couple of minutes or hours, but it must abide in us until the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. Oh, brothers and sisters, may God work it in us. And I believe with all my heart, if we remain faithful, he remains faithful. Although we get weak sometimes, and if we stumble, but he nevertheless remains faithful. And if we stumble or fall, he's ready to rise us up. He's a faithful God, a wonderful God. To him be the glory and the praise and the worship. I'm so grateful to God also for this morning, for his precious and holy word. It was so wonderful. Every word which we read, if you really believe us, then it's in us something wonderful. Then it's something precious. It's our food. It strengthens us. And we believe it. We receive it. We let it speak to us. Not only that we hear it, then going out and then forgetting it again. But it works in us. We love him. Yes, if we love him, then we love also his word. This is the matter. That's how it is written. We cannot do otherwise but to exalt his name. Now, we want to worship him, praising his name. Let us stand up for it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depth of our hearts, also for this morning, our Lord. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given us grace to many thousands, also in our days. Lord, we pray that your grace from the beginning to the end may be in our lives. Because, Lord, what good is it for us if we made just the beginning and you will not continue until the end? Lord, we ask you from the depth of our hearts, give us all grace. Give me the grace. To my brothers and sisters, the grace. Help us all, O Lord, in this course of time to look unto you, to focus on you as our leader, as our guide. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave us and you didn't forsake us in these days, that you remembered us. Lord, we thank you that you are still at work, that you are still calling your elect. You are calling them to yourself. Very soon you will come. You will take them up into your glory. Oh, we may swing up on the great swings of the eagle. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God. We worship you in this hour. We give you the glory and the praise and the worship. Lord, You have revealed yourself so mightily in our days. You have spoken to us through your servant, Lord. Thanks be to your wonderful name. You are calling them out. In our eyes, it's almost impossible. We cannot understand it. But you know who are yours. You know your chosen ones. Praise be to your wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, together for your precious and holy word. And Lord, we also pray. May you strengthen our brother when he flies to Africa. May you put him there as a witness of your truth and as a witness of your word, Lord. May your good Holy Spirit be with him, Lord, as never before, Lord. Oh, Lord, we ask you with all our hearts that your power and your spirit be with him on every step. This is our prayer, our request this morning. Lord, also all who are on the wrong way, whom the devil has overcome, Lord, we pray. Let the work of Satan be destroyed. Lord, on the cross of Calvary, it happened. We thank you with all our hearts. You are the victor. Hallelujah. To your name be the glory, the praise, and the glory and the worship. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our thoughts. We bow before you, Lord. We humble before the Almighty, before the eternal God. Praise be to your name. We worship you and we glorify your presence. You are not far. You are near to us. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, continue to be with us, with all whom you will still call in these days. Because also our brothers and from Zaire, may you bless them. May you bless the brother from Belgium. May you bless all who are here and also those who cannot be here this morning. Please, Lord, we worship you and we praise and glorify your presence, O God. You are near. You are present. Praise be to your name. Come to your right in our midst. Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love.